This is WGNS Action Line. Action Line. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers for 78 years. Talking with Rutherford County newsmakers. This is a WGNS Action Line. Now your host, Scott Walker.
This morning, we have guests from Murfreesboro Parks and Rec and also the city of Murfreesboro, and Nate Williams, park director, with us. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Scott. I know we're here to talk about parks and recreation, but I was hoping you'd let me do just a quick weather report while I'm here.
Yeah, go for it. What is the weather looking
it's
like?
Hot.
In there?
It's hot.
I saw
hot.
A heat index warnings up to like 108 today.
Yeah, I think it's all the way through 8 p.m. tomorrow, but it doesn't cool down much after that. So
it really doesn't.
And I know we've got a lot of people out in the park system. People walk in the greenways, and it's a great time. I just encourage people to, you know, pick the best times, get out there and enjoy the parks. Make sure you have plenty of water. If you're going to go out there and play disc golf or get on the mountain bike trail or the trails at Barfield especially, have plenty of water and make sure you're doing it at the right time. Early morning's a great time to get out right now.
Do you see a lot of people out during the day when it's, you know, heat index of 105 to 108?
You know, it's less. I ride my bike a lot on the greenway, and I've noticed over the past couple weeks that it's less people around 4:30, 5 o'clock, and I think once this kind of humidity, this heat wave moves away next week, we'll see people getting more out. I think people gravitate more towards our indoor facilities this time of year when it gets really hot, and of course Borough Beach to cool off a little bit. I was talking to our aquatic superintendent, and pool temperature at SportsCom outside is 88, which is really warm.
Even if you're
going to the pool, I know we've had a couple medical incidents where people pass out just from the heat and stuff. So just keep in mind that it's not a refreshing dip in the water right now. We're trying to cool it off. We keep the slides running all night long to try to cool off the water and make it a little bit more refreshing.
That's almost body temperature. I mean, that's warm water.
It is warm water, and you have to keep up, especially with your kids. You know, they don't realize how much they're sweating when it comes to Borough Beach. But we're excited. We just reopened the SportsCom indoor pool, which we retiled, replastered, so it's fresh and new. And that'll be about 84, 85 degrees. So we're moving all of our exercise classes back in, and people can enjoy maybe a little bit more refreshing water.
Sam Huddleston is also here, assistant city manager, and I understand we're going to get some updates on Town Creek.
Yes, good morning, Scott. Any of our residents or listeners who drive on Broad Street behind the station know that they see a lot of yellow steel and construction equipment and occasionally some dust and noise. And so that project started a few months back, and the contractor's really working hard right now, especially this Front Street side of Town Creek.
That's been a long time in the planning and the making. I mean, Town Creek, we've talked about that a lot.
You know, it really dates back to city really taking a deep dive on it back in 2007. And if you'll recall, we had a collapse of the Town Creek culvert under the drive-thru at the old KFC. And from that, we really, as an engineering team and planning team, public infrastructures team, started looking at the impacts of trying to maintain that old system, the aging infrastructure. And as we looked at the cost of that and the difficulties of that and the impact of digging that up and then replacing it in kind, it was a multi-million dollar activity to get back where we were. And just one day in a brainstorming session, there were a few of us sitting around, and we came up with, what if we don't put the culvert back and just open that system up? And kind of a light bulb went on with our staff, and from that we really started with a vision, and then since that time, probably 2008-2009, we've been working to see what's happening today come to place.
It's really interesting because that culvert was put in, was it in the 50s or 60s?
Yeah, it really started with Broad Street when the state of Tennessee decided to extend Broad Street through Murfreesboro. The area of the bottoms was, according to its namesake, a very low place, flooded frequently. And so TDOT had plans to raise the ground surface through there to raise Broad Street above that. And when they had that plan, that left the lands adjacent to Broad Street lower by several feet than the road surface itself. And from that, the Bottoms Urban Renewal Plan came forward. And so the street pattern, the infrastructure pattern, the land use pattern you see today was started in a large part in the early 1950s as a part of the Bottoms Urban Renewal. And so that area was raised up 6 to 10 feet. But to do all of that, they had to manage the reality of having a small stream, urban stream, running through the middle of their project. And so It started with sections of culverts, but over time, about 1,800 feet of Town Creek was placed in a culvert system from Murphy Springs to Front Street.
And the culvert itself, I know you talked in the past about how large it truly is. It's big enough, I guess, for you to stand up and walk through.
Sure. The main part of it along Hickerson, 7.5 feet from the bottom to the top, and it's 15 feet wide. And it's an arch section. You know, it's not a box at that point, per se. We call it a box culvert sometimes, but it's really a section of arch pipe there, tall enough for all four of us to walk through there shoulder to shoulder and not bump our heads on anything.
Have you been able to go through the entire culvert already, or are you planning to?
Actually, I did in 2014 as part of an engineering inspection. We really wanted to get our eyes on the condition of the culvert system. We did some downpipe camera systems. We ran a wet application camera system that runs on wheels. We put it in to get a quick look, but then really to go back and examine that and put our eyes on it, get pictures. We had a structural engineer with our team. I went through it. A couple other folks were in that party. We actually used it for a fire department training exercise. The fire department analyzed the atmosphere to make sure it wasn't deficient of oxygen or had any hazardous gases, which might be a scenario, real-life search and rescue or a real-life incident. And so the fire department worked on that. They had above-ground communication. It's a pretty neat deal. We made a whole day exercise out of it to help the fire department with training, but then that also allowed our professional staff to get in there and put our eyes on some of the defects and some of the damage over time. And it was just over knee boot deep. So that meant that your socks got wet and your knee boots filled with water in a few sections of it.
Any interesting finds in there? Because, I mean, if it dates back to the 50s and 60s, I mean, that's pretty old.
Well, you know, it's interesting to see how our construction side and how our development side progressed through there. The corner of Church and Broad, there was a service station. Some of the longtime Murfreesboro residents may remember it as the FINA station that's there beside the McDonald's lot. And so that service station was actually built over Town Creek. And so the culvert system there is actually concrete block walls like you might see in a commercial building. When you're walking through it, you're looking up at the service bays and the floor of the old service station. The plumbing and the structural supports are all part of that, and that sits over Town Creek. Now, that's one of our most damaged sections, and that's the reason you see that fenced off today. We didn't want heavy trucks parking on that old floor slab in its deteriorating condition.
That is interesting. I didn't know that's why that area was fenced off.
Yes, as we got in and got to seeing the inspections, we understood that repeated heavy loads, and we know some of our truck driving friends use that from time to time to maybe stop into McDonald's and get something from there, but a heavy loaded truck in the wrong place there could have resulted in another collapse of that system.
Now, have we got any other gas stations in town that are built over a culvert like that?
Not that I'm aware of.
Oh, that's good. We'll find out the hard way.
But on the opposite side of Church Street, really in that Hickerson Drive, West Castle area, several of the buildings that fronted on Broad Street, Budget Breaks and the subway, and some of those are built on top of or so close that we could not dig up the culvert system without jeopardizing the structural integrity of the buildings. And that, again, was another reason we decided to daylight Town Creek. For us to replace that in kind, we would have damaged or destroyed several of the buildings anyway.
That's interesting.
I think about what this is going to look like after and how it's going to really change what downtown looks like. And, you know, I think we all have our opinions of what it's going to look like. We've seen the renderings, but I'm curious. I'm not trying to take over your show.
No,
here.
No.
Sorry,
but
I've got a couple
yours.
Questions.
He does weather. He does radio. He does impressions. If you want to,
you know,
he'll be here all week.
Let's hear some of the impressions.
No, I don't have any impressions. But, you know, I'm curious. I've heard Sam talk about this, and I think it'd be great for your listeners to hear kind of your vision once it's complete, what people can expect and how it can change that corridor really from Murphy Spring all the way to Cannonsburg, and how you've conveyed it being kind of the mastermind behind all of it, of what it's going to look like when it's complete.
Nate, you know, it really started out as a very practical engineering question. What do we do with broken infrastructure? And then from that, we transitioned pretty quickly into placemaking and creating. We have a great opportunity there to create a special place. And as you think, Scott, about places you've been and places you've visited, and you go, you know, that was a really neat place or a really memorable place. Most of them involve some form of water. Having that central element of water and flowing water moving through that area, and then with Cannonsburg on the downstream end and Murphy Springs and the Discovery Center on the upstream end, we had a great opportunity to link those two together and to create that place. And so we talked about shade being a part of that. So landscaping and how we turn that area green will be important. We also talked about comfort, and Nate mentioned the heat. And certainly this time of the year, a greenway without any shade on it, an athletic field without any shade, is a pretty tough space. But if we can incorporate some landscaping and some green in this concept, then we can make Town Creek and that corridor comfortable during the hot times of the day, as well as for the normal times that we might be there early in the morning and then spring and fall. And then incorporating the access we have with the greenway system through there is just a great opportunity to change that from concrete and parking and buildings. And we need those things and places in our city, but we also need, especially in this downtown area, to create that open green space. We've talked about having downtown residential and places like Town Creek become their outdoor space because we're not able to provide that in that dense urban residential development.
What is going to happen with the roadway that was right behind where Budget Breaks and Subway and all that were? Is that Hickerson itself?
Yes, Hickerson was an urban renewal street. It was actually named after, I think, the executive director of the Murfreesboro Housing Authority at the time that that was proposed, and some of the historians may check me on this, but I think his name was Carl Hickerson, and so that street name was placed in there to honor him and his early work with the urban renewal project. But that's a very tight spot between the back of the curb, back of the sidewalk on Broad Street and Hickerson, and for us to create what we needed there to daylight that stream, remembering, Scott, it's 10 feet in the ground there down to the water. And so by the time we exposed that 10 feet and had our slopes and all that we need in the creek width, we really ran out of space through there. And so our engineering team looked at it and we asked the question, what if we close a portion of Hickerson? And so we'll maintain a small portion of Hickerson. There's a strip center that we might be familiar with. They'll continue to have access and frontage on Hickerson. But really, from that curve in front of that strip center down to West Castle, we'll remove that pavement. That'll become the place where our multi-use path and walking trail, pedestrian scale lighting, some seating areas, some overlook areas will be created so that you can have that stream sidewalk and also the view of the daylighted Town Creek.
Have any portions of that culvert already been unearthed, or is it all still under dirt?
Yes and yes. So if you get a chance to see into the excavation down there, you'll find that we've exposed the outside of the system, the culvert system, in many locations. Contractors done that, so you can physically see the culvert system that's carrying Town Creek. Contractors made a decision to help manage water to keep that culvert system intact while he works in the dry around it. There'll come a point in this lower section where that culvert system will have to be partially removed, and the contractor will either choose to put that water into the new Town Creek or maintain some type of diversion. You know, the next big thing on our Front Street portion of the project is to replace the bridge that's under Front Street. There's a double-barreled concrete bridge under there, and it also is 70 years old. And so while we were managing the realities of the culvert system on Town Creek, we also had to look at that road system and that bridge, and we made the decision to replace it with a new culvert system now, using the opportunity of the work. So we'll be replacing that with a culvert system again. And when we do that, we'll have to break into the side and take part of that drainage system out.
Does the city have any old photographs of that original building of the culvert system? That would be kind of interesting to see.
I haven't personally seen any. I'm not aware of any. I think with drones and cell phone cameras and cell phone video, we capture so much more digital imagery now than we would have perhaps the old 35 millimeter cameras and things like that. Bill Shacklett and Shacklett Photography has a good collection of some photographs of that area of Cannonsburg when it was commissioned and open and things like that. But I haven't personally seen any of the construction or even different phases of Town Creek as it was put in culverts over about a 15-year period.
In the future, what are some of the goals for the Bottoms area? Because I know there's been a lot of studies done on it. There's been a lot of town meetings on it. What does the future look like for that entire area? I mean, do you see retail space down there one day? Do you see restaurants? What is in the making?
I think we'll go back to that vision document, the Historic Bottoms redevelopment plan, and that involved a lot of public hearings and a lot of public engagement. We had a professional planning team to help us with that. Representatives from most every city department participated in that. And so that was a vision document that we put forth. Town Creek was a part of that, the pedestrian bridge over Broad, redoing some of our intersections. So that front Vine Broad Street intersection was one of the big ideas out of there. But if you remember some of the elements, it included potential retail, food and beverage, entertainment. There was discussion about a cultural arts district, about some industrial areas that might be smaller scale than what you might think about, but still related to the manufacture and production of things, maybe even artisan related industrial arts and crafts. Those sorts of things were some of the ideas that came up. Historically, because of the railroad track and the condition of roads before World War II, you know, that was really our sort of our warehouse district. With the railroad depot there, the prevalence of warehouses, that was our farm to market, how crops, how livestock that was produced locally made it out into the market. There was granaries and cotton gins, and so we know some of that sort of industrial and ag market set up. And so that industrial tradition has continued over there over the years with some of our current occupants and previous occupants along that rail corridor and in that part of our community. And so there's some thoughts the vision might include some level of industrial employment applications.
I've heard so many different stories in the past. I don't know if there was housing in that area at one point or another, but what stories are accurate? Was there housing down there at one point along with warehouse space and places for trains to load and unload?
Certainly was all of that. Some of the records that we found as we researched the Historic Bottoms redevelopment plan, the Broad Street, the actual physical plans for Broad Street, many of those structures were identified along with their uses. And so you would see a parcel of land, and it would have the owner's name written on it. It might have R for residential, or it might say warehouse. And so that was really a mixed-use area. And so it included residential, industrial, warehousing, storage, shops, all the things that you could imagine in a community that, Scott, up until the car was introduced, was still horse and buggy. So Civil War era, you know, we're still talking about horse and buggy being the primary means of transportation in and out. And the rail serving that, you know, that area was really a pretty important place to our community for many years.
And I guess when you look at the layout of the square, that really was a low area. I mean, because the square's is pretty high compared to that area in particular.
We'll give credit to the founders of Murfreesboro for picking that spot. Murphy Springs and companion Sand Springs, which start there as those come out of the ground, those form Town Creek. It's a very dependable source of water. From my years of studying streams and understanding stream and flow and quality, it's one of our most dependable sources. And so we'll give credit to them. Maybe they were that smart, or maybe they were that good, but it turns out that was a more dependable water source than many of the other places that they might have formed or settled what we now know as Murfreesboro.
Sam, that was the water source for the city of Murfreesboro up until when?
It served as the city's water source. And I don't remember the exact timing, Nate, but I do know that at first we captured water from Murphy Springs, treated it, and sent it out into the city. And then as our city grew and the demand grew, we added a well. And so today you can see from the overlook down at Murphy Springs, there's still the remnants of a groundwater well. And so we actually supplemented that from time to time with pumping groundwater out. And then as the demand continued to increase, we actually extended a water line to what is now the water treatment plant. And we pumped water from the East Fork of the Stones River into our treatment plant that sat at that location. And eventually we abandoned the treatment plant. That's where Discovery Center is, and that's where our parking lot is. And some of the old waterworks are still there as elements of the Murphy Springs area today. There's a old raw water basin and an old pump house that Parks and Rec Department maintain over there. But we eventually abandoned all of that and moved our water treatment plant to its current location out near the VA. And so for almost 200 years, we've used that as a water supply here in the city of Murfreesboro.
That wetland area, it didn't look anything like it does today way back then. 100 to 200 years ago, it was totally different, right?
There's a lot of man-made improvements around it today, certainly, but I think the form, those springs sinking somewhere in our watershed upstream of that and then re-emerging there as Town Creek, I think that form looked the same. What has changed, though, when we started using it as a water supply for our community, we really changed the hydrologic dynamics. That's a big word to say. We changed the presence of water significantly by removing a couple million gallons a day out of that system and pumping that out into the city. I wouldn't say we starved it, but we changed the dynamics of how the water existed in Murphy Springs, and that allowed what we knew before Discovery Center, that shaded, covered hardwoods down there, we knew it as that. But we were also taking that water out. And then when we moved our water treatment plant to the East Fork of the Stones River, all of a sudden that system's now seeing that couple million gallons per day back again. And so water levels were higher, water persisted for a much longer period of time. And certainly vegetation that grows in at a certain water condition, when you change that, especially when you raise it, you can change how that vegetation responds. And so I think what we see today has resulted from the change in water level and change in water presence.
That affects the wildlife, everything that's attracted to that area, and some of the challenges that we have out there. It's just, you know, like you said, the ecological adjustment that's happened, you know, we're just seeing that right in front of our eyes.
And what the system will do is it will create a new equilibrium. That process sometimes to the onlooker looks a little ugly because we've got a lot of dead vegetation from the past. We've got some low-growing vegetation that wants to take over that water surface. But eventually, the canopy trees will reestablish, and those, you know, 20, 30, 40 years it takes to grow a pretty good full-grown tree. But that equilibrium is trying to reestablish now, and the things that can dominate today will and do. And as those conditions change, other plant species will come along, and we'll see those dynamics change over the next 5 to 10 years.
You know, one of the questions we get a lot is, what is the creek going to look like? What is, you know, what type of flow? And I think I'm correct in saying, Sam, that you can see what it's going to look like. If you go to Cannonsburg, you see Town Creek. You can see where the culvert empties into a bridge, and you can see it. And it's really a pretty creek. It stays pretty wet year-round, and it'll be a nice adjustment to really that downtown area.
And I think when you also look at that Cannonsburg stretch, and we talk about that being Town Creek Phase 3 in our game plan for Town Creek, and we don't have exact vision on what that looks like, but that stretch along Cannonsburg, I think next phase gets some TLC and some attention. But what you'll also notice about that is that because it's groundwater and because it's coming out from a spring setup, it stays cool. And so that air is real cool. I think some of the ways that I see that stretch, and I remember that stretch, is when there were activities and festivals and events at Cannonsburg, especially in that July, August time frame, people, they went to the creek, and they were waiting in the creek. And I remember, Nate, the old black kettle cobbler maker, they made fresh fruit cobblers down there and cooked them in a black kettle over an open fire, and it was right beside the old steel bridge and people waiting in that. And so we're trying to recreate that opportunity, not necessarily for the cobbler, although that'd be a nice thought.
It's an added bonus, right, Sam?
But we're trying to recreate that opportunity to interact with Town Creek like you would when you were a young child, and take your shoes off and dip your feet in the water and step across the stepping stones. We'll add those sort of amenities in there so we can have that point of interaction for our visitors and for the public.
You know, I think we see a passive space that's going to really just change the landscape of downtown Murfreesboro, but it provides an opportunity for our natural resources and our outdoor Murfreesboro folks to be able to program and teach exactly what's happening, you know, in that stream system, how it backs up to the just the whole watershed. That's one of the things we're excited about, is doing more education on what happens and why it's happening and where the water comes from and where it's going.
Now, there is a rock bed in that creek right there behind Cannonsburg. Is there a lot of rock, or have you already discovered a lot of rock? in that area of where the culvert is today?
Yes. And so if you're in that area on Broad Street, you'll hear the heavy equipment removing some of that rock. So to get the landform that our designers wanted, we wound up creating a new location, a new channel for the creek. Nature is a hard teacher sometimes, but the old stream channel is several tens of feet away from that area. And the stream found the easy place to run. And it's, of course, exposed the rock in that area. But when we moved it in a couple locations where we did, we found why the stream didn't want to be there, because the rock's very hard, very solid. We'll recreate that. Typical of Middle Tennessee streams, we'll recreate that stream segment where most of the flowing water is actually in a bedrock and maybe with some rock walls and shelves and benches in it, similar to what you might see in walking any of our local streams today. I will say that as we move upstream closer to Murphy Springs, bedrock, believe it or not, is not as close to the top of the ground as it is down near Cannonsburg. And so that whole geologic setup at Murphy Spring is really a geologic feature. The bedrock is deeper there. We have sediments that have come in over time, and so we have a deep soil profile on top of that. That gives us a great base for vegetation and trees that want to be in that area, more so than what you would find typically in a Rutherford County stream segment.
Now, is there any fear of that area flooding again once you open the culvert?
Well, all of our streams flood. I think our job as planners is to determine what that looks like and make sure things that don't want to be wet or we don't want to get wet are properly protected from flooding. But it will experience no more flooding than it would have in the past. It's just that now it will be more visible to us. We'll get to see that water in that Town Creek segment. Certainly our Parks and Rec staff is familiar in Cannonsburg that from time to time we do see high water events in there, and we see it up close to the building, over the Greenway trails, over the parking lots, and that's not unusual in some of our park facilities.
Once all this is complete, the Parks Department, they will be the ones who, I guess, take care of that stream or as far as landscaping and all that go? What will happen there?
Well, we may use a different mechanism. I think opportunity for our Parks Department is to create how Town Creek, Murphy Springs, and Cannonsburg and the broader Greenway and park system interact, how we program that, what we do there. You know, Cannonsburg celebrating, Nate,
50 years next year.
It's had a good 50-year run. I think Parks and Rec Department, City of Murfreesboro, we have an opportunity to program that maybe differently than what we have in the past 50 years, but also certainly now to incorporate the new elements of Town Creek into that.
I know when people were first talking about the redesign or what's to come of the bottoms, an open air auditorium or an open air concert type venue was discussed at one point. Are there any talks of something like that down there around Cannonsburg?
I think the vision that was created in the historic bottom study plan is still out there. I think that would be a neat use of the area. It would be consistent with how we have programmed Cannonsburg in the past, and certainly would maybe Nate and Lynn could weigh in on how we've used that Cannonsburg area for festivals and other type of entertainment. A more formal facility might allow us to program that more intensely, more frequently. It would give us the ability to do something not on an ad hoc basis where we have to set up temporary facilities and do all that. And that's an exercise that historically we've had to do at Cannonsburg. Is there's a big setup to any time we have a festival down there. And so if we had a permanent structure with plumbing, with electric, with lighting, with built-in sound, with back of house, and those sorts of things that you need to do that on a routine basis, I think that's a great platform to really program that and use that space in that way.
You know, I think we're looking at Cannonsburg and everything that happens out there, and this is really a launching point for us as we celebrate 50 years and what's been done out there and then how that's going to change. And inherently, this work that's happening on Town Creek from Murphy Spring really changes our opportunity. So we've always had the idea of having some type of permanent event space out there, and I think that's a natural thing to do and naturally progresses. In the meantime, you know, we're starting on Veterans Park. The grading is taking place right now. So We do have an event space out there that we'll be able to do that type of festival setting and stuff like that, which, you know, relieves the pressure off of Canonsburg, so we can kind of figure out exactly naturally the progression of how we can best utilize that space for the residents of Murfreesboro and people visiting Murfreesboro.
Lynn Caldwell's also here with us today, and I...
The Lynn Caldwell.
Didn't say anything...
Yeah.
She's monitoring everything taking place. So what is the timeline for finishing up Town Creek? I know we haven't seen the daylighting of it yet, but what does that timeline look like today?
We've probably got about another 12 to 14 months of heavy construction. So fall of 2026, we would expect this phase of the work to be complete, but that's not done. That gets the creek open, that gets the trails, that gets the lighting, the landscaping, and the basic form. But we've got some areas that we have not finished the plan on, and I think our next look at that will be how do we activate those spaces, how do we incorporate now the linkage with Canonsburg and the linkage with Murphy Springs, how do we incorporate that in? Is it a public-private partnership? Is it all public? There's still a lot of the Town Creek story to be written, and we've tried to provide the framework there, but we've left a couple of the places on the canvas blank to allow that to be penciled in later as some of the other redevelopment projects downtown take place, as we reprogram Canonsburg, as we look more broadly at the facilities that are in the downtown area.
You know, we focused a lot on everything downtown. We've got so much going on across the city right now with various projects. I think it's a good time to remind people we've got a town hall meeting on Monday night, August 4th from 6 to 7 at First Presbyterian. And that's something the mayor and council have decided to do periodically. But I think for updates like this and everything going on downtown, this is really focused on that. I would encourage people to come out. They can ask questions, hear the mayor, hear from maybe a few of us, talk about some of the concerns, the exciting things happening.
Now, will a dam of any kind have to be built along Town Creek in order to make the water a little deeper in some sections or wider in some areas?
You know, we'll really use the construction process to create the elements along the stream, so riffles and pools and things like that. So we won't physically construct a dam, but we'll use excavation and deeper areas to create a pool section. We'll use some of the rock that we removed to create stepping stones and other elements along the way to create some of those things that maybe you think about when you think about a Middle Tennessee stream.
This will be a big addition to downtown. I mean, everything that you're talking about, it's going to look good.
And it's certainly going to change that streetscape and that feel, especially in that Broad Street, Church Street, Vine Street area. Right behind the station, right behind City Hall and the Limeball Library. That already feels different because we've removed many of those buildings that were up close to the road. And as you see that excavation continue, instead of having buildings in front of you, you actually have clean and green and landscaping there and a nice open space. It'll be a different feel to that side of Broad Street.
And then the pedestrian bridge, where is that going to be? I think originally the talk was at the intersection of Church and Broad, but is it still that area?
It is. We're in preliminary layout and environmental clearance. It does involve federal and state dollars, and so we follow their review and approval process. And one of the steps in there is to look at the environmental impacts. You might hear that statement a lot of times about federal or state projects. It's in the NEPA review. That's the National Environmental Policy Act. But it requires a comprehensive look at the environmental impact. So we're in that stage. We're also looking preliminarily at how it might be configured and arranged with the land we have, with what's going on at that intersection, and really what we want to accomplish. And Scott, the thing we want to accomplish with that pedestrian bridge is a separation of the pedestrian traffic and the 40,000 cars per day that use Broad Street in that area. That creates a huge conflict. It creates a safety concern for us. And I think it probably deters some people from going across Broad Street into that Canonsburg area, going across and using the Greenway or Murphy Springs without being in a car. So we're trying to link, from a pedestrian standpoint, link the downtown and the bottoms with that pedestrian bridge.
Sounds good. We got to take a short break. We're going to have to wrap it up in a second. But we'll take a short break and then officially wrap it up.
Broadcasting from the Middle Tennessee Electric Studios, MTE Sharing Change has now donated more than $11 million to local nonprofits assisting worthy causes in our community. MTE, serving to make life better since 1936.
50 fresh, flavorful seasons at the Rutherford County Farmers Market.
You bringing your tomatoes this Friday?
Sure am. Pick fresh this morning.
Then I'll bring the sourdough.
Rutherford County Farmers Market, Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 to 1, at Lane Agri Park in Murfreesboro.
If you're planning an upcoming trip and want to include your pet, we have all the travel supplies you'll need at Animal City. This is Amanda at Animal City, inviting your family to come do business with my family. Animal City is Murfreesboro's hometown family-owned pet store. We've had the honor and pleasure of serving the community for 33 years. If you want to see some photos of our adorable pets, feel free to check out our Facebook page, Animal City of Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
This is Peter Demas, and our family is inviting your family to come eat with us at Demas's Restaurant. Demas's has had a bar when we opened 35 years ago, and we've done the exact same thing with our bar menu that we've done with our food menu. We get higher quality items, higher quality cocktails. Again, some people just want a drink with their meal, where they might be able to get a drink to complement their meals. You need to check it out, so come on over right now. Demas's Restaurant on Northwest Broad Street. We really focus on value.
The Action Line on FM 101.9 and AM 1450 Murfreesboro, FM 100.5 Smyrna. Listen and watch at WGNSradio.com.
I guess, Nate, close out this morning.
Yeah, for everything that we have going on, go to MurfreesboroParks.com or go to any of our social media. And I appreciate you having us on this morning, maybe a little bit different format. And I appreciate Sam coming on and really diving deep into Town Creek. It's something we're really excited about. I know your listeners have been curious about. And Sam's just a tremendous resource for the Parks Department all the time that we certainly appreciate for all the projects.
Well, thank you all for joining us this morning.
Thank you.